Nithai Gauranga, Nithai Gauranga. Nithai Gauranga, Nithai Gauranga. Nithai Gauranga, Nithai Gauranga. Jai Satinandana, Jai Satinandana. Jai Satinandana, Jai Satinandana. Jai Satinandana, Jai Satinandana. Jai Satinandana Gaurare. Gaurahari, Gaurahari.
In 1970, Srila Prabhupada was in Japan. And just after that, and he started negotiating printing with the Dainapan printing company, publishing company. And then later in that year, Brahmananda Prabhu came to Tokyo, Japan, and he had a mission from Srila Prabhupada, and that mission was to publish the Krishna book. Before that time, before the publication of the Krishna book, there was practically no conception within ISKCON or in the West of who Krishna was. There's a lecture that I heard Prabhupada giving, I heard it on tape, possibly in 1966, or perhaps early 1967, where he's discussing some elements of the Vedic culture and Krishna consciousness, very basic things. Prabhupada was explaining to the people who were hearing from him, Westerners in New York, how everything in the Vedic culture has meaning. And then he explained how Krishna never becomes old. And he said that when Krishna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he's at 125 years old, but yet he doesn't look like an old man. You will never find a picture of Krishna as an old man, he said. And then he asked the devotees, just the people who were hearing him. He asked those people, have any of you ever seen a picture of Krishna? Just silence. No one had even seen a picture of Krishna other than hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra. No one had heard of Krishna, practically speaking. And Prabhupada was so empowered to do something that was, practically speaking, impossible. It's one thing to get people to chant Hare Krishna or to start a religion or a movement, but to spread a culture is almost impossible. And the Krishna conscious culture is the medium in which the soul can more easily attain love of Krishna, love of God. So Prabhupada had to start an entire culture, and therefore he said it was a cultural movement. And part of that culture, or rather the essence of that culture, was the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the smiling face of Krishna. And so early, in 1970 again, Prabhupada published this book, the Krishna book. And although it is the most intimate, it contains the most intimate pastimes of Krishna, yet he published it very early because he wanted to acquaint his disciples and the world with who Krishna is, that God is a person. This is an amazing thing. There are so many religious groups, so many religions in the world, but who has an understanding, practically speaking, that God is a person? And without understanding this personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can we truly get to love Him? And if we don't love Him, how can we actually go to Him? Because we will end up loving those things of the material world unless we actually develop our love for Krishna. Prema Pamarto Mahan. And this is the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And this is the purpose of every living entity's life, to develop his love for Krishna. So Prabhupada presented this very, very, very early. And therefore, we started reading this book very, very, very early. This was the typical thing that young engaged couples used to do in the early days. It was the Krishna book in hot milk time. In the evenings, they would sit together and read Krishna book with glitter and stars in their eyes. But how long did that last? But anyway, Krishna book, everyone grew up in the early days with Krishna book. And we read it and read it and read it. And I remember in 1972, 1973, 1974, when I was in Hong Kong, we read Krishna book to the children there. And we read Krishna book and we read Krishna book. And to the degree that when years and years and years and 10 and 20 years later, when I would read Krishna book, it was so familiar to me that I thought that it was boring, already known, and I needed really a lot of more information. Of course we need more information about Krishna, how wonderful. But I myself clearly neglected this book. And just recently, I've picked it up again with a different kind of reading. And I found that it is very, very wonderful and very sweet. And there's so much in it. And the limitation was really my own mind. So I would like to read a little bit of Krishna book right now. And please raise your hand if you've read that paper that I handed out, that simple paper. Okay, that's more or less everyone. Very, very, very simple. Very simple. Before I speak about that methodology, that simple methodology of reading, I would like to read some Krishna book. This is from chapter 15 of the 10th canto of the Krishna book, The Killing of Dhanukasura. I'll probably end up reading only one paragraph. This is Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends entering the forest of Vrindavan. Accompanied by the cowherd boys and Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute through the forests of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers, vegetables, and pasturing grass. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee and was full of bees, flowers, and fruits. There were chirping birds and clear water lakes with waters that could relieve one of all fatigues. Krishna, sweet-flavored breezes blew always, refreshing the mind and body. Krishna with his friends and Balaram entered the forest, and seeing the favorable situation, enjoyed the atmosphere to the fullest extent. Krishna saw all the trees overloaded with fruits and fresh twigs coming down to touch the ground as if welcoming him by touching his lotus feet. He was very pleased by the behavior of the trees, fruits, and flowers, and he began to smile, realizing their desire. This was during Kartik, as part of my Kartik Vrata. I attempted to read for 15 or half an hour every day using this method, wherein I would just try to listen carefully as I read, and rather than imposing my intelligence on the text, I would try to become influenced by it and see what happened. And this was one of the first texts I read, this paragraph, and I found it so wonderful. I would like to read it again. And what I would like everyone to do is, if anyone has any thoughts, just listen very carefully. If anyone has any thoughts or impressions, please just raise your hand and I'll ask you to speak them.
Why are you
reading? I'll just raise your hand and then I'll probably read very slowly and just one sentence at a time. Just any thoughts. Accompanied by the cowherd boys in Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute through the forests of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers, vegetables, and pasturing grass. Now, I've already read this one already, so my mind is full of ideas. One thought that I had when I read this the first time was how the Vrindavan forest is organized by whom? Purnamasi, Vrindadevi. Why?
Pastimes?
Yes.
Of loving exchange.
Yes. To give pleasure. Thank you. To give pleasure to Krishna. So this is how Krishna gets pleasure. Listen again. Accompanied by the cowherd boys in Balaram. Another thought just came to my mind. That Krishna is never alone. And he is the Purushottam, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's never alone, and his pleasure is with the devotees, with those whom he loves very dearly. And these personalities, the cowherd boys, their hearts are so full of love for Krishna and can give Krishna so much pleasure that they're qualified to be with him in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan forest. Let me read it again. Accompanied, and if anyone has any thoughts, just raise your hand. Accompanied by the cowherd boys in Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute through the forest of Vrindavan. Yes, nice. Accompanied by the cowherd boys in Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute through the forests of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers, vegetables, and pasturing grass. What's special about it? Yes? But imagine this scene. Krishna is with his most beloved devotees and wandering in the forest of Vrindavan with the cows. Just imagine the ecstasy. Who is with Krishna? The cowherd boys, Balaram, the cows. To be with Krishna, just imagine the ecstasy they're feeling. Just imagine. The happiness they're feeling. What are they doing? Later on, there are so many descriptions. They're running. Simple things, seemingly such simple things. They're running to touch Krishna. But because Krishna is the center and Krishna's pleasure is the center, everyone's hearts are overflowing with what?
Prema.
Prema. and higher than different stages of prema, accompanied by the cowherd boys and Balaram in such ecstasy, Krishna brought forward the cows. So they were, even that word brought forward, just by, he would call them and they would come forward. They wanted to be, and it describes also that the young calves, when Krishna was very, very young, before he was taking the cows, he would take the calves out. And those calves, when they grew to be cows, when they grew up, when they were young, they had such a relationship with Krishna, they wouldn't go with anyone else. So Krishna played on his flute through the forest of Vrindavan. Now what was in the forest of Vrindavan? Fruits and vegetables. Yes. Fruits and what else? Yeah. Yeah. You hear the birds? And just, and every living entity, yes.
The beautiful kunjas.
Yeah.
Krishna.
And why were these all manifested?
For the pleasure
of Krishna. So Krishna played his flute in every. And the, anyone know a verse about Krishna's flute playing? Yeah. Senses are completely enlivened, but everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Dvija kula, the birds, yeah?
Birds, yeah.
The Vrindavan forest. So every, was full of flowers, vegetables, and pasturing grass. So all these were conscious. And although there are five different rasas, what's the what we would say the lowest? Of course it's not low. What is the most, the rasa? What is that? Shanta rasa. But the Shanta rasa in Vrindavan is not just ordinary. It's mixed with the the Vrindavan mood. It is not just passive, but the grass and all the flowers and the vegetables and everything is just so ecstatic, thinking how Krishna will come and step on them or pick them. And they're hearing the sound of the flute too. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee, and was full of bees, flowers, and fruits. Any thoughts on that? Mind of a devotee. Any other thoughts on that? That is a positive definition, is in contact with Krishna. And what's the definition, the vyatirek, or the definition by negation, when something is clear, that means that certain things are not there. So what is not there? Yes. Free from no anxiety. What else isn't there? Free from material desires. Free from material desires and anxiety. Then, the last part of the verse. One could go to Vrindavan then. Bajrabihari? Yes. Free from the lower modes of material nature. So this is the price that has to be paid. But really it's giving up those things that are the cause of anxiety and misery. And therefore, as we heard yesterday about Narottama Das Thakur singing Hari Hari Bifale. That, oh, how unfortunate I am. I want to stay, not here, but I want to stay in the material world so I can enjoy, with that mood, I want to enjoy those things produced of the material energy. Bhunte prakriti jani ha. And what's the result? Sada sad joni janmasu. Birth and death and birth and death and birth and death instead of this. And cheto darpana marjanam. and chanting the holy names to clear us. And O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion. Just like the saying, purity means, Maharaj is saying that purity means keeping Krishna with you. O my companion. Companion is what? Who we keep with us. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified. What is that word sanctified? What does that bring up? What picture or idea or thought? Yes.
Exists only for the satisfaction of Krishna.
Oh, that's a nice definition of sanctified. Exists for the pleasure of satisfaction of Krishna.
Specifically.
Then it's sanctified. Anyone else? Made holy. That's what sanctified means. Made holy. As sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee. As holy as the pure mind of a devotee. So I wonder why, why so much misery comes to me because of this. The mind is not clear, it's not holy. Full of so many other desires. So, then it goes back to the proper mood of chanting with lamentation. So, this paragraph that we read, one time, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines in it. I didn't count how many sentences. So I read that paragraph one time, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We read five sentences again. And the devotees had so many nice thoughts to exchange about that. So, thank you. So it's really possible if we go a little bit deeply and contemplatively and not superficially to gain so much from these books. And that's what we want to do. We want to become influenced, affected by the Bhagavatam. And as we do that, we want to keep that Bhagavatam with us, the concepts, the thoughts, which are not different from Krishna, to keep Krishna with us continuously as our companion, as our friend, as the giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. We want to be influenced and affected by the Bhagavatam. We don't want to keep it on a superficial level. We want to allow it to deeply, deeply enter the core of our hearts and change us. That is the journey, the transformation that we were talking about. So what I would like to do is just go over in a very simple way the steps and very quickly, and then I would like us to try it individually and in small groups together. Excuse me? Excuse me? Of course. Do you have the books? Okay. Are they here? Oh yeah, they have to come now. So, very, very, very simply, this system. Now, it's not hard and fast rules. The first principle is, before you start, is to choose where you're going to read from. So we're going to be bringing some books. Now, I've found books that I particularly, that work well for me. But you choose a spot where you're going to read from. Do that in advance. Because all different spots aren't easy, aren't the same. So you choose something that where you want to read from. And then you take the book and realize that this is Krishna himself. Or realize to the degree that we can realize it. Or another way of looking at it, this is Prabhupada's gift to us. This is Srila Vyasadeva's gift to us. This is the greater, so many great acharyas have commented on the Bhagavatam. This is their gift. So many times we think, oh, I wish Prabhupada were right here, or imagine if Prabhupada were to walk right here, right now. Oh, just imagine how wonderful. Or Sanatana Goswami, or Srila Rupa Goswami, or Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan, or so many great devotees, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Imagine if they were to walk here right now, or Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. What would we want to do? We'd want to hear from them, because the sound vibration emanating from the hearts, really from the hearts of these great souls, we want it to enter our hearts and change our hearts. We want that. So when we approach the Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada called a kirtan in writing, and Prabhupada, he stayed up all night practically to translate the Bhagavatam. So this is his gift. I will live forever in my books. So this is his gift. So we approach it. Please allow me some receptivity to accept your gift. Even though my heart is so unreceptive, it is so hard, and my mind is so strong, and I don't want to be receptive, but please allow me to receive something from you in this way. So we approach in a prayerful way with some veneration, knowing what we are trying to do. Because the Bhagavatam, the holy names, that verse again, Saru Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Maturava Sri Murtaya Shraddhanaya Sevana. These five elements of Panchanga Bhakti, they are so pure, even Alpasanga, even a little association with them, Krishna Prema Janmaya, will give birth to Krishna Prema in our heart. So we approach thinking that if I could get one little drop, one little inspiration, I'll be so fortunate. If my heart can shift a little bit today, transform just a bit to get a little bit closer, if some anarta can be removed, if some inspiration can come, how fortunate I'll be. Oh Bhagavatam, oh friend, oh companion, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, please be merciful to me. So approaching in a with that dainya mood, and then begin reading slowly, meditatively, and with repetition. Read something again and again until you find something that interests you within it. And remember that it's not the quantity, especially in this type of reading, it's not the quantity that's important, or to be able to spout some knowledge that's important, but to be deeply affected, the heart to be changed. So read, keep reading until you find something that touches you, and then read that part again and go a little bit deeper into it. When something touches you, go still deeper and still deeper and think about it to the degree that we can realize it. Or another way of looking at it, this is Prabhupada's gift to us. This is Srila Vyasadeva's gift to us. This is the greater, so many great acharyas have commented on the Bhagavatam. This is their gift. So many times we think, oh, I wish Prabhupada were right here, or imagine if Prabhupada were to walk right here, right now. Oh, just imagine how wonderful. Or Sanatana Goswami, or Srila Rupa Goswami, or Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan, or so many great devotees, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Imagine if they were to walk here right now, or Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. What would we want to do? We'd want to hear from them, because the sound vibration emanating from the hearts, really from the hearts of these great souls, we want it to enter our hearts and change our hearts. We want that. So when we approach the Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada called a kirtan in writing, and Prabhupada, he stayed up all night practically to translate the Bhagavatam. So this is his gift. I will live forever in my books. So this is his gift. So we approach it. Please allow me some receptivity to accept your gift. Even though my heart is so unreceptive, it is so hard, and my mind is so strong, and I don't want to be receptive, but please allow me to receive something from you in this way. So we approach in a prayerful way with some veneration, knowing what we are trying to do. Because the Bhagavatam, the holy names, that verse again, Saru Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan Maturava Sri Moteya Shraddhanaya Sevana. These five elements of Panchanga Bhakti, they are so pure, even Alpasanga, even a little association with them, Krishna Prema Janmaya, will give birth to Krishna Prema in our heart. So we approach thinking that if I could get one little drop, one little inspiration, I'll be so fortunate. If my heart can shift a little bit today, transform just a bit to get a little bit closer, if some anarta can be removed, if some inspiration can come, how fortunate I'll be. Oh Bhagavatam, oh friend, oh companion, oh giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, please be merciful to me. So approaching in a with that dainya mood, and then begin reading slowly, meditatively, and with repetition. Read something again and again until you find something that interests you within it. And remember that it's not the quantity, especially in this type of reading, it's not the quantity that's important, or to be able to spout some knowledge that's important, but to be deeply affected, the heart to be changed. So read, keep reading until you find something that touches you, and then read that part again and go a little bit deeper into it. When something touches you, go still deeper and still deeper and think about it and pray about it. And sometimes what happens is a prayer. An inspiration comes. You read how the clear mind, sanctified is the clear mind of a devotee, and then you see what your own, or at least I see what my own mind and heart is like. Rather than being sanctified and clear, it's filthy, disgusting. And then a prayer may come to the heart, resembling help in one form or another. Oh Krishna, oh holy names, oh Bhagavatam, oh Prabhupada, look at my condition, oh Vrindavan Dham, look at my condition. Without help, what can I do? Please. And then if a prayer comes, very good, because again, we're not trying to cover a certain amount at all. We're just trying to have the Bhagavatam affect us. And then we continue until the time period that we've allotted is over. And then when exiting from this meditative state, we can offer obeisances again and be thankful. And what we try to do is have this something touch us so deeply that it's natural for us to think about it during the day. That's a goal I've seen. Internal, introspective. I've also fallen asleep a lot when I've done this, unfortunately. So don't put yourself in a position where you can easily, I'm going to read lying down or something. But sometimes by the mercy of Prabhupada, of the books, of Narottama Das Thakur, Sometimes such nice thoughts have come to mind. Okay, does anyone have any simple questions about what to do and about how to proceed? So what I would like everyone to do is find a few friends, three friends, and just go off and somewhere, but read individually. The books, are they here yet?
They're coming.
They're just coming. And so everyone can take a book and take 15 minutes, and I'll give some help with the timer on that. Just 15 minutes. 15 minutes is actually plenty. Or a half hour, but right now we'll just do 15 minutes. So just pick a section, be alone in your group, and then after 15 minutes, spend another 15 minutes just exchanging thoughts on what you've read and how it went. Just one moment, and then we'll call for questions. So that's what what we'll do now. Okay, questions on what to do, how to proceed? No. Individually. And then exchange after thoughts and ideas. Group of 3, 4, 5. Here's a suggestion, and this is another thing I was hoping that we could do. Don't go yet. Excuse me. Just one second. Take out your notebooks and a pen, and we'll do 10 minutes of free writing. Free writing means that you just start writing. You can describe Vrindavan, what you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you touch, the touch of Vrindavan, or you can describe what you're thinking, something that you've just heard, something you've been thinking about the last few days, a product of your thinking about the chanting. Just for 10 minutes, just write and write and write. And the only requirement is that you don't stop writing. Even if there's nothing else that you can write, except I'm not sure what to write now, but just keep writing. And keep writing and don't stop for 10 minutes. And no one else will see it, so you can write anything you want. Okay.